Psalm 103, a psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that was in me, all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfy your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like an eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over it, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember his precepts to do them. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you, his host, you who serve him, doing his will. Bless the Lord, all you works of his, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawn, it's time to sing. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Your heart is kind, for all your goodness I will keep on saying. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like still my soul sing your praise unending. thousand years and then forevermore, forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. His holy name, sing like never before. Oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. I worship Your holy name. I worship Your holy name.
Oh Lord in heaven, we do bless You. Bless, we bless Your soul, Lord. And we thank You for Your works and all the wonderful things You've done in our lives and for this world. And Lord, thank You. Thank You for Your compassion, for Your forgiveness of our transgressions. We are but dust. And we thank You for just calling us to You and for that forgiveness through Jesus Christ. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated. Unless you want to stand, you don't want to stand. The next two songs are taken from Psalms. And a little background, I think, is helpful as we sing. The first one is Psalm 90, a Psalm of David. Rather, actually, it's a Psalm of Moses. And apparently, it was written Moses' prayer for the Israelites as they wandered in the desert for 40 years, being punished by God because they didn't have the faith to go in the promised land the first time. And so Moses has this tremendous psalm proclaiming the greatness of God. Starts by saying, Lord, You have been our dwelling place in all generations before the mountains were born, or You gave birth to the earth and the world. From everlasting to everlasting, You are God. And then he talks about how they need forgiveness of sins. They need God to help them number their days. Verse 12, teach us to number our days. Show us Our majesty. Let the works of Your to Your servant and Your majesty to Your children. And then it ends with, Lord, confirm the work of our hands. Confirm the work of our hands. So they knew they weren't going in, but they pleaded this prayer to the Lord. And I think as we live our lives, I mean, this is my prayer, and so anyway, we're going to do that. And then we go to Psalm 16, which is a prayer of David, and I like this one too, because I can't tell you how many times I've prayed this first line, where David says, preserve me, O God, for I take refuge in You. And just help me stay in Your ways, O God. Help me do what is right. And so as we do these two songs together, think about that, because that's I believe, what the Lord would have for us.
All right. Thank you.
as I travel down this world I know I. Oh Lord, in you to abide. Be thou my shield, my shelter, and my guide. And may your goodness be my pride. Oh Lord, do teach me to number my days. Oh Lord, do teach me to number my days. If you don't, I won't survive. How I need you by my side. Oh Lord, do teach me to number my days. Lord, you show me your majesty. Oh Lord, please show me your majesty. If you don't, I won't survive. How I need you by my side. Oh Lord, please show me your majesty. As I travel down this road of mine, oh Lord, in you to abide. Be thou my shield, my shelter, and my guide. And may your goodness be my cry. Oh Lord, if you don't, I won't survive. How I need you by my side, oh Lord, to confirm the word of my hands. As I travel down this road of life, oh Lord, in you to abide. My shelter and my guide. And may your goodness be my pride. As I travel down this road of life, oh Lord, in you to abide. Be thou my shield, my shelter, and my guide. And may your goodness be my pride. Oh Lord, you have no beginning or end. Oh Lord, you have no beginning or end. How I need you. If you're not, I won't survive. Oh Lord, you have no beginning or end. Praise be to God, you've missed me. Preserve me, O God, keep me in your heart. You're my God, holy God, I am all I say to you. You are your saints to me. Well, Father, You're my God because there is no other God, even though people have made many gods. I love the words of Isaiah where he says, you go cut down a tree with part of it, you know, you build a house or start to build part of your house. Part of it, you light a fire and roast your food over it. And part of it, you make into a god. And you bow down and worship it. And Isaiah says, look, when you're in trouble, try talking to your piece of wood and see what it does for you. So you're the only God. And Father, I'm afraid that so often in our lives, as we travel down this path, this road called life, we get frustrated, we get overwhelmed, we lose our focus, we pout, we panic, we do all kinds of things. And yet, as our loving Heavenly Father, you say, son and daughter, I'm here. Let me help you. So, Father, I know that we come this morning with aches and pains. It is so good to have Carol with us again, and Kevin as they're recovering from their hip thing, and others, you know, Cindy has got her back, and I've got my stuff, and everybody's got stuff, and yet here we are. And I'm thankful. You know, it is so important to be thankful and to put the focus where it needs to be. Lord, we're concerned. We're concerned for a lot of issues, but now we're at war with Iran, and that's going to have major consequences and significance. And we think of the continued war with Russia and Ukraine and Israel and in Palestine or the Gaza Strip or whatever it is. And it's scary. It's downright scary. However, in Psalm 103 said, God has established his throne in heaven and his sovereignty rules over all. And I trust, Lord, that we have read your word enough to know that you can be trusted. But we come and we're asking you that righteousness would prevail, that justice would be done. You would comfort our hearts. You would take care of us. As Paul told Timothy, pray for your rulers and kings and those over you so that you may lead a quiet and peaceful life. That's our desire, Lord. And our desire more than that is for men and women, boys and girls around this globe to open their hearts to you, to have you come in and change them. That's the only answer. Until then, we're going to be shooting and killing each other. So, Lord, I just pray that whatever is on our hearts, people we're praying for, that you would use this time. Now we have read, we have sung, spend a few quiet moments and unburden your heart before God. Thank him, first of all, that he's there and he's listening and he loves you and he understands. And then let him know what you would like to pray for. Oh, Father, we thank you for how good you are to us beyond measure. In our theme is, Lord, I lift your name on high. Help us do that, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we stand?
sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name.
That's what we do, Lord. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. What I wanted to do was report on my trip to Grace Community Church. And I thought, you know, there's a lot of pastor conferences around the world. And I have a thought in the past of maybe I ought to go to another one or a different one. And the reason I kept coming back here since 1986 is because they preach the word. Now, I'm not saying other places do not. And it's really not fair because I haven't been to other places. But I've been to what I showed you enough to know soon as you step on that campus, you feel it. Now, I know that may not be theologically correct, but what you feel, I think, is the Holy Spirit engulfed in 3,000 or 5,000 other pastors milling around. And I didn't run into one unfriendly person. You start talking to people, I showed you a few pictures of people I talked to, as if you've known these guys forever. I never met the guy from Germany or Alaska or the guy with the shoe. But there's a brotherhood. And I think what it is they are all lifting his name on high. And again, I'm not saying that doesn't happen in other places, but I've only been here. And it's just all of that, and plus how well they treat you, you had a little part of that, kept going back. So why do they, in every true church, why do we lift his name on high? So here's the abbreviated version. It's 2 Corinthians 3:18. And maybe the Lord knew, well, the Lord of course knew this was going to happen. So last night he had me look at this again because I was telling Charlene, I had so many thoughts and it was just going everywhere. So here it is, one verse. You can stay in this on this page because we're not going to have time to go to any place else. But here's why we lift his name on high. Paul says, but we all, and the we all would be believers. The we all would be those, verse 16, who have turned to the Lord. The we all would be those who have come under the preaching of the word of God. If you go to chapter 4, just down the page, Paul's going to say, if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are preaching. in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness, and in one is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. So when Paul says 3:18, we all, he's talking about the believers who have come under the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Boy, I wish I could do this. You go to Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 13, and what does it tell you about the Word of God? Oh, it's a downy blanket, it's a nice apple, it's cherries, it's a lemon meringue pie, it's a great bear claw or what? No, no, no. The Word of God is active and living and sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, we have people in here who have had major surgery and well, they were unconscious, thank God. But the surgeon has got to cut and do things. We had a friend who was a doctor, and somehow we were at his house. Charlene was picking up something, and he was watching a video about a knee replacement. Stupid me had to watch. That is just gross. You know, they not only they cut you open, they cut out that part, they get a drill. Oh. I'm sure it's Santa saying, and then they're pound. So here's the point. They do that to save you. And what the scripture does is it comes to us, and as we listen, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We hear the gospel. Jesus died for sin. Why? Because you are a sinner and you're in big trouble. But he loved you and he died so that if you hear this and you respond, and as verse 16 of chapter 3 says, you turn to the Lord and you humble yourself and say, God, I'm a sinner. Save me. And write this down too. Go home and look at Luke 18, the story of the Pharisee in the tax gatherer, and the Pharisee saying, Lord, look how great I am. I don't need you. And the tax gatherer is flat on his face, and he says, oh God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And Jesus says, that man went home justified. I really did plan to spend a little bit of time with Manasseh, because we did that kind of on Wednesday night. But again, if you're taking notes, 2 Chronicles 33, verses 12 through 13. Manasseh was a bad king. He burned his sons alive to pagan gods. He practiced witchcraft and divination. That's all there in 2 Chronicles 33. And then God, to punish him, sent the Assyrian king. And when that happened, well, the Assyrian king hooked him with hooks and dragged him off to Babylon. And I love this because I think it's verse, let me just read it. 2 Kings, 2 Chronicles. Yeah, thank you. This is not the way you're supposed to preach, but you'll get it. As Patrick says, you got to leave something out, and I am. So it says, when he was, and I love this because it's part of my reading through the Bible I started 2 years ago or a year and a half ago, and I'm in 2 Chronicles 33 because I do a chapter a day because I'm slow, and I get to a point like this. I've been about a week on this passage because you don't leave it. As somebody once said, you know how to do your devotions? You're not trying to run through 15 chapters to check it off. You read till God speaks to you. Mm. And here he spoke. Manasseh, one of the worst kings ever, when he was in distress, this is 2 Chronicles 33:12, he entreated the Lord, his God, key word, and humbled himself. That word humble denotes falling down. It denotes coming prostrate. It denotes I wrote it somewhere, trust me. It denotes not, you know, humbly, oh yeah, no, this is a king bowing to another king. This is a king offering submission. This is a king who says, now I'm going to do things different. He humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. Now watch look what God does. He says, I'm sorry, dude. I mean, you've used up all your passes, if you had any passes. You've used up all the grace that I may give you. It's just too bad. You've made your bed, now lay in it. No, no, no. When he prayed to him, God, he, God, was moved by his entreaty and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem, to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. And then he starts to kind of try to fix things that he goofed up. But as verse 19 said, God was entreated by him in his humility, and God brought him back. Now back to 2 Corinthians 3:18. This is what is happening to believers. We all, as God penetrated us, however he did that, and of course, it has to be the word of God, because by faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. He devastated us. You should be like Isaiah. When you see the Lord high and lifted up, we'll see how you do that in a second. You should be flat on your face, because that's not me. That's not me. Free plug, and maybe I shouldn't say this, so Kevin can cut it out. Finished a book called Isola. And it's a fascinating story, a true story, about a young lady in the 1400s, 1500s. And when the queen, they were very Catholic, but that they're very God-honoring. And at the long story, well, I guess I shouldn't say this in case you read the book. But the point was, you know, they're trying to say how great this person was, and she says, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm just a sinner. That's what the Word of God does. It says, you don't mash up. Because the Word of God pierces, dividing the soul, the joints and the marrow, even judging the intentions of the heart. We may say to God, I didn't do it. And God will say, but you wanted. So we come, and when we humble ourselves before the Word of God, he takes away this veil. And notice that. Verse 18. We all with unveiled face. And we don't have time to go through this either, but this afternoon, get a cup of coffee or tea and read 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And Paul is talking about basically the Old Covenant and Moses, and how in the Old Covenant things were veiled. For example, you could not just waltz in and say hello to God as we can today. You remember what was in the temple between the holy and holy of holies? What was there? Wasn't a gate that said enter. There was a veil, a thick veil. And only the high priest could go in once a year, and if he didn't follow directions, God killed him. That's why I've heard they tie a rope around his ankle and bells, so they hear him jingling around, and if he stops jingling, you figure he must be dead, and they can't go in, so they drag him out. That's how serious this was. So in that case, God's presence was veiled. You could follow directions, God would forgive you, but if Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, he deals with this in length. And look at folks, the old covenant was never meant to last. It was to lead you to this. In fact, if you read Galatians, it'll tell you that the old covenant came and the law came to show you, you can't keep it. And to get you ready that when the Savior shows up, you say, man, I need you. Now, when we do that, Paul says this veil is lifted, and what do we behold? Beholding as in a mirror, I think that's the word of God, the glory of the Lord. When Moses went up to the mountain to get the Ten Commandments and meet with God, when he came back down, his face glowed. That's what he's talking about, the early part of chapter 3. And the people couldn't look at it, so he put a veil over his face. And Paul picks up on that. You know, the glory was veiled. This was veiled. And they couldn't really see clearly. They couldn't just waltz in and pray to God. You had to go through a priest and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
But when you come to Jesus, that veil is taken away. We are beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. We see Jesus. We don't need a vision. I guess you could say that would be great, but that'd be scary, right? Every true vision in the Bible, when God appeared through an angel, whatever, these people were flat on their face. And remember, they say, look, we're dead because we've seen God. We're part of God. But when we have this veil removed, we are able, through the Word of God, to see the glory of the Lord. And that's one thing about the pastor's conference. And I was kind of interested this year, because John is not there anymore. He's in heaven. Of what it would be like, and it really didn't skip a beat. Because every preacher is preaching the Word. All the music is geared to get you ready to hear the Word. And what they are doing is showing you the glory of the Lord through all these different passages. And you sit there, and it really is a transforming thing. For example, can you imagine, I've thought about this, if every one of these seats was filled and we sang, we would have to turn up because we couldn't hear. When you got 3,000 pastors singing, it really is awe-inspiring. And that's why, basically, I sit there and I just listen, because it's like, whoa. In years past, I've gone to the church service on Sunday morning, and the people don't sing like 3,000 pastors. But when we get to see the glory of the Lord together, it just sets the stage, and it gets better. As we are looking at the glory of the Lord through His Word, that is why the Bible is so important. I don't have time for this either. Shucks, I was going to do the rich man and Lazarus. That was the last message I heard. You remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus? And the rich man ends up in hell, not because he was rich, because he didn't listen to Moses and the prophets. And he says, Father Abraham, it's a parable, so you can't communicate with people that are past or whatever. But he says, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to my five brothers, because they're like me, and if they die, they're coming here. And Abraham says, they have Moses and the prophets. And he says, no, Father Abraham, you don't understand. If somebody comes back from the dead, then they'll listen. Remember what Abraham, Jesus telling the parable, he says, look, if they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't listen if somebody comes back from the dead. It's the Word of God that transforms us. It's not signs, it's not wonders, those all parted to authentication. It's not all guys fancy stuff. Nobody was ever saved through music. It may set the stage and push you in a direction, but nobody is ever saved by theatrics. Nobody is ever saved by clever oratory. It's only and only the Word of God that God uses and penetrates. And I trust that you have felt that conviction, and you felt God just speaking to you. Say, oh my goodness, I've read this before. Why didn't I see it? And once the veil is removed and we can see the Lord clearly, coming to Him, the veil in the temple's been rent, we can go directly to God. You know, I was praying early this morning for our prayer time, 9 o'clock. Well, today was a little later, but 9 o'clock. And remember that we live in this time where we can do this. Hebrews 4. Therefore, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to find help in time of need. You could not go directly like that in the Old Testament. But now we can. And as we gaze, watch what's happening at the end of the verse. As we gaze at the glory of Jesus in His Word, We are being transformed. It's a passive participle. It's a continually, it's happening to us into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Lord, the Spirit. And sometimes it's so gradual, we don't even notice. But all of a sudden, you say, wow, I'm not thinking like I used to think. I'm not responding like I used to respond. And if I do, I feel the sense of conviction I didn't feel before. And now I want to please God. Now I want to know more about Him. And step by step, we're becoming conformed to the image of His Son, which is really the point of why God chose you. Ephesians 1:4, He chose us and before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before Him. And you know Romans 8:28, for all things work together for good to those who are called according to His purpose. And we say, great, God, good. The God will give me a great house, give me a great job, give me a great car. No, the good is so that we will be conformed to the image of His Son. And as we look in His Word, with the veil being lifted through the Holy Spirit, and as we are convicted and as we humble ourselves, we find that we are going from one stage of glory to another. Father, these are basic words, but it's the truth and it's what it is. We find that it is mentioned many times, especially in the New Testament. But we are thankful that You have removed that veil in Christ. And as we come to Him, for the first time in our lives, we can truly see clearly. I can see clearly now. The rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that have made me blind. It's going to be a bright, bright, sunshiny day. It's going to be a bright, 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 shiny day. Why? Because I've seen Jesus through His Word. I continue to see Jesus in His Word. And He's changing me from glory to glory. And I want higher ground, Lord. Higher ground. I want you to think just quickly. What stage of glory are you on? Are you satisfied? Think about that and then we'll close this morning.
Pressing on the upward way, new heights I gain every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on high. Beyond, shall we stand? My faith on heaven's gable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to. Where these are my prayer.
of the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled, for faith has called the joyful sound, the song of saints on high earth. Lord, lift me up. Faith on heaven, stable land, a higher climb than I have found. Lord, let my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost heights and catch a gleam. But still I pray till heaven I found. Lord, take me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me out. By faith on heaven's table land. True, as we look in that mirror with an unveiled face to see the glory of God, to see you, oh, may it be so as we read your word. In Jesus' name, amen.